Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. You have established all boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Psalms 74 and 17. God is great and greatly to be praised. Who can create the summer? Who can create the winter? Nobody. Nobody but Him. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you, God. Thanking you for your many blessings that you shower over us continuously, day in and day out. An old day and a new day, night, day. You shower your blessings over us continuously. We say thank you. Thank you for allowing this word, oh God, this day, to go into Romania, to go into Korea, to go into the Kurds, the Kyivs. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that men, girls, and boys can hear what you are saying. We thank you in advance. We thank you, God, because the word is moving. In Jesus' holy name. And we say amen, amen. And we say thank God. Thank God for you. Thank God for you and bless you. And again, Happy New Year to all of you who are listening. Yes, a new day, a new year, another chance. Glory be to God. We just want to pick up from where we left off, the first of the year, as we're talking about limitations. How you can't put limitations on God. We may try. Oh, we may want to do it real bad. But you can't. We try to put limits on many things. We put limits on people. We put limits on possessions. We put limits on ourselves. Limitations simply mean a limit on something, a certain amount of goods that have been measured. Keep in mind, measured. Why do we limit ourselves? And yet when other folks limit us, then and only then are we angry, are we upset about it? But we limit ourselves in so many ways. But remember, objects attract objects. And so the spirits, they attract spirits. So if we limit ourselves, we feel that we can limit God. Not so. Not so. We cannot limit God. Second Kings 3:15 tells us, But now bring me a musician. And it came about when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Music does make a difference. Music does make a difference. The right music will bring in the Holy Spirit. The right music. Shows us that God becomes present with the right music. Calmness, relaxation, quietness. Our spirit becomes quiet. If we're not calm and we need to get calm, why do you see so many times where people are selling meditation music, music that would help you calm down, help you get quiet? The Holy Spirit rides on a note. He rides in on a song. Glory be to God. Let's look at Jonah 1 and 3. Jonah 1 and 3. Jonah 1 and 3. In the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3, we all have heard or have read the story about Jonah and how God instructed him to go into Nineveh to teach to a sinful nation. But Jonah, having his own agenda, having his own desire, having his own way, which is a lot of times the way that we see things, we have place judgment on folks that we have never met. Jonah took things in his own hands, and he decided he was not going to go to Nineveh. He was not going to do that because he knew that the living God would save those people who he said they were not fit to have redemption. They were not fit because they were just that evil. So Jonah became the judge and the jury. And he decided that Nineveh, the sinful nation, should not be saved. God, put a pin on that. But God, pin it. But God. You can't put God in a matchbox. You can't put him in a shoebox. You cannot limit God. Why? Why do we try to limit him? Why do we try to limit God? Why do we, as humans, think we can outlive him? That we will have the final say-so and not be creator of heaven and earth. What is it with us? Why do we do that? Jonah got on the run. He began running away from God. Now, did you hear what I just said? Running away from someone who is omnipresent. How could you run away? You're spending all your time, all your energy thinking that you're running from the creator of heaven and earth, from the creator who created you, and he sees all, and he knows all. So he knew where you were all the time. You can't limit God. Now let's just think of, just for a moment, who are we talking about? We're talking about the Savior of the world. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the one that is omnipresent, who sees it all, who knows it all, who owns all the cattle on a thousands of hills. Huh? Who's the God in the valley, and he's the God on the mountain. Who are we talking about? He's the God in the heavens. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And he's the God under the earth. Yeah. But Jonah took things in his own hands. Uh-huh. Trying to limit God. Even when Jonah was on the boat, he still tried to limit God. He began to, he began to feel that he could run. And then not only could he run, but he felt he was hiding. Can you imagine hiding from God? He sees everything. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. Huh? But Jonah. How many Jonas is listening to what I'm saying? Think about yourself. Think about it. Uh-huh, because you know a lot of times we always put more emphasis on the fact that Jonah didn't want to save the people. But not only that, Jonah tried to limit God. See, you can't limit God. You cannot. Mm-mm. But finally, while he was on the boat, passengers on the boat knew something wasn't right. They knew it because they had never experienced what they were experiencing. So they had more sense than Jonah to realize that someone was on here that shouldn't be on here. And they begin to question the passengers to find out who you were, why you were here, because they were terrified of the storm that had come up. And eventually Jonah was thrown out the boat. And when he was thrown out the boat, you know the story. He stayed. He got into the mouth of the whale. The mouth of the whale. So it took a whale confrontation. It took a 3-night stay in a whale's body for Jonah to realize that he could not limit God, that he could not outslick God, that God was omnipresent. God knew it all, and he knows it all even today. Someone is listening to what I'm saying. You're feeling right now that you're running from God, that you got a lot of little time. You got time. You can run, and you can still keep doing this, and nobody's seeing what you're doing. Well, I want you to know. I want you to hear me real good. You can't outrun God. You can't put limitations on him. He's everywhere. He's in the trees. He's in the sky. He's in your water. He's in your house. Yeah. He's in the people that you see every day. He is God, and he is everywhere. Yes. His son Jesus has come down to redeem you and me. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to redeem all of us, to lead and guide all of us. Not for us to run away, but to be guided. Not to operate on our own, but to listen, take heed to what the Spirit is saying. Yeah, let's look quickly at one more. One more. In Genesis, we see that there was Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve was in the garden. The key words, the key verses to this particular story, this is the beginning of the Bible. It's many times it's titled the Garden of Eden. And parts of the story in the book, we see that Adam and Eve were in the garden. Adam was there first. Mm-hmm. And then God said that man should not be alone. So he put Adam to sleep, and he created, what? A helpmate. Mm-hmm. And her name, he allowed Adam to give her her name. Think about that. Man named woman. Her name was Eve. Yeah. Eve. E-V-E. Mm-hmm. Oh, and let's not forget our very famous unwanted guest who was also present. The serpent. He was there. Mm-hmm. Just like today, wherever you are, he's still here. He's around. The serpent is here, seeking whom he can devour. The serpent is here, seeking who will listen, who he can control. The serpent is here, seeing who will pay attention, who will give him their ear. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, the serpent was here in the beginning. This is nothing new. It says here that the serpent tried to limit God. Now, we're going to see, how did he try to limit God? Uh-huh. Well, he tried to limit God when he began to lie in the conversation with Eve. After God had came and talked to Eve and Adam, and he left out of the garden, the serpent. Yeah, he gonna come, he gonna show up, thinking nobody's around. See, he's trying to limit God. And so his method of trying to limit God is to come after you, me, all of us. This is his method. Mm-hmm. So by holding a conversation with Eve, he was able to take advantage. He was able to take advantage just through her conversation, wrapping her mind, huh? Brainwashing her, turning the conversation around, stating that she didn't hear that right, and that's not really what he said. The serpent is cunning, and if you're not prepared to have a conversation with the serpent, you need to be quiet and begin to pray to God for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you as to what to say, what to do. The serpent is very cunning. Yes. Listen to this. He thought he would be able, I said thought, because so often this is what the enemy does. He always thinks he can get ahead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is his method. This is his plan. He has been using this plan for generations after generations to deceive us. Huh? He thought he would be able to discern the creation. Yeah, he really wanted to stop it. He didn't want a creation. He didn't want anyone to be saved. He didn't want any of that. He didn't. But here we see how he tried to limit God. And we see this so often in many of our lives. Satan comes in and tries to limit God. But are you willing to take a stand? Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to stand for righteousness? Are you willing to show the enemy that you cannot limit God? That God is all-knowing. Huh? He's all-knowing. So after Satan had finished trying to brainwash, and I use the word literally, brainwash, because this is what he was doing, Eve, by letting her think what she heard was not what he really said. Are you listening to what I'm saying? How many times people have come to you and said, oh, I know you read that. I know you see that, but that's not really what that means. Huh? That is why it is so important for us as believers in Christ to use the Holy Spirit that is at our beck and call. He's right there when we need him. All we have to do is call, and he comes. The God who Satan tried to limit, he held court. Think about that. He held court. Yeah. And when he held court, everybody was present. Adam was present. Eve was present, and definitely the serpent was present. And when he held court, he sentenced everybody. Everybody was sentenced. And at that very moment, you wonder, did Eve understand what had taken place? Satan was trying to limit God by using her. Again, if you are not prepared, if you're not prepared to entertain, you need to go into prayer. Satan is very cunning, and he tries to come in and destroy. That's his job, to destroy, to rob, to kill, to take what God has given us. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can't limit God. You can't put him in a box. You can't put him in a shoebox. You can't put him over there in the corner. He refuses to go into a timeout. You can't do that. He can hear all of us pray at the same time. Can you imagine that? I can call him. You can call him. Everybody, somebody in China could call him. Somebody over there in Europe could call him. We could all call him at the same time. He is omnipotent. Are you listening? You can't limit him. So I say to you who's been trying to limit God, stop it. You who try to limit yourself in many ways, you try to limit you, to stop it and embrace everything that God has for you. Embrace it. Use what he has given you and stop putting a limit on it. Stop putting it over there in the corner. Stop sweeping it under the rug. Use what he has given you. Last week, or the week before, I mentioned how in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, for as he leads as the heavens, excuse me, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. Listen at that. He says his ways are higher than your ways, than my ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. There's no way that we could limit him. He don't even think the way we think. He's trying to get us to come on board to his way of thinking, the choices that we're making, to choose him instead of the old way, but to choose a new way. Glory be to God. Huh? Listen to what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Even Job says, where's the depth? Can you find, can you discover, can you find the depths of God? No, you can't. Because there is no measurement. See, we try to measure everything. We try to put a price to it. We try to put a seal on things. We try to just put it over here and say this is a certain amount. You cannot measure God. He's unmeasurable. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the listeners, God. Master, you know that I have a cousin. Her name is Carol Showers. Oh, God. You know, Master, that right now the doctors are saying they don't know why she's bleeding, oh, God. But I know that you know why she's bleeding, and I know that you know how to stop the bleeding, oh God. So I'm coming right now in the name of Jesus, laying Carol on the altar, asking anyone and everyone who hear me today to lift her up in prayer. And we will be careful. We're going to give him all praise because we know that he is the healer. He's the healer. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. And we speak favor over her, the blood of Jesus. We claim it, and we say amen. Amen. And we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. And, of course, on Saturday with Just Show Up Ministry with the children, which I love very much. And on Sunday evening with God's Favorite Ministries. Yes, we know that God is the healer. Mm-hmm. He healed many of us in many places. So all we have to do is keep trusting and believing. Amen? Amen.